Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Cannabis, fentanyl, nicotine, vaping, all these things are available now. And how do we help our teens to avoid them? Let's discuss. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell, and back in the studio, I have my good friends Heather and Anne-Marie. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hey.
It's great to be here today.
All right. We have been talking about our parenting article for this month, and we've been talking about how to teach our teens to just say no, but in a more effective way, right? So, Anne-Marie, what was something that you learned from yesterday's article?
Well, it is not necessarily something that I learned, but something that I do believe in our article put it into words for me. It's this idea that connection matters more than control. Relationships with our kids matter more than putting rules on them.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not just with substance use.
No, that's just with parenting in general.
In general, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think with anything, you're trying to teach them, you know, whether it's to be kind, whether it's to have confidence, whether it's to step out and take risks or to have discipline and practice the piano that they don't want to practice, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. trying to get them to live the best life that they can, connection matters more than control.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Heather, what about you? What was something that you picked up from yesterday's lesson?
I also really appreciated the idea of connection being more important than control, but something else that I really think is a very helpful reminder for parents, but also just adults in general. You have more influence than you think. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not a parent, I am not, you still can influence the children that are in your life, and
yeah.
you can make good decisions. Oh, well, you should make good decisions, and hopefully they'll see that.
100%. I think that is absolutely right. You know, we all have a certain amount of influence. You know, we're all teachers. So as teachers, the things we say carries a certain amount of weight, mm-hmm. and I think as parents also, you know, we have a certain amount of influence. And the thing is, as we get older, like Anne-Marie, you were saying yesterday, our goal is to get them to be more independent and more mature. So
right.
eventually, our influence should wane,
mm-hmm.
at least the day-to-day influence. But the truth is, the things that we speak to them now when they're young becomes their voice in their heads later on.
We have this really unique privilege to shape our kids and mold them while they're young.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we're doing it correctly, we hope that sticks and that becomes their inner voice.
Yeah. Now, obviously, as parents, we are flawed. None of us are perfect, and we do make mistakes. And, you know, one of the most important things is when we do make mistakes is to own up to them and to speak to our children and to and apologize. And I think that goes a long way to building that relationship.
Yeah, because how can we expect our kids to do the right thing and apologize if we're not willing to do it ourselves?
Right. And the thing is, as parents, I feel like children are the biggest mirror, right?
Oh, so true.
You know, so many times, I'm like, why are you speaking like that to your sister? Why are you doing that? And then I look closely what they're doing, and I'm like, oh, that's because that's how I spoke to you.
Sometimes I hear my words come out of their mouth,
yes.
and I'm like, whoa, I need to make a change.
Yep. So parenting is not for the faint of heart, let's say that, okay? And one of the big things that I was reminded of recently is I get to parent these children. I get to love on these children, and it's not that I have to.
Mm-hmm. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege, especially it's a privilege since I prayed
to
be a parent.
We asked for this.
Yes, exactly.
This is something we wanted.
Yes, I asked God to give me children, and so he did, and now I have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a privilege, and it is an amazing privilege to be able to raise people and to teach them how to navigate this life. But how do we do that in a way that is effective? Well, yesterday we learned some tactics about talking to them before the issues actually arise, and talking to them often and being open and honest and vulnerable, right? And that helps to build that connection. Well, we have some more advice for all of us today. Let's get into our article and then we can discuss further.
Pay attention. Substance use looks different now than it did a generation ago. While alcohol is still the most commonly used substance among teens, cannabis use, especially in the form of vapes or edibles, is increasingly common. Nicotine vaping has also surged in recent years. Staying informed about what teens are actually using can help you have more meaningful conversations. When teens sense that you're up to date on what's happening in their world, they're more likely to take you seriously. Sometimes, it's hard to tell whether a teen is experimenting or truly struggling. If you notice changes in mood, sleep, appetite, school performance, or friendships, bring it up with your pediatrician. Pediatricians are trained to screen for substance use and mental health concerns. In addition, teens often feel more comfortable talking to a doctor than to a parent. One of the most important goals in adolescence is delaying substance use for as long as possible. The earlier a teen starts using substances, the more likely they are to develop a substance use disorder later in life.
All right. So the first advice for today is to pay attention. It says substance use looks different now than it did a generation ago, right? So what are some of the things that people are using these days?
All right. Well, we saw here in this first part that teens are using cannabis, especially in the form of vapes or edibles. Okay. So vaping, of course, is when you are inhaling a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
And then edibles is something that you physically eat. And with cannabis, we often talk about like gummies or
right.
things like that.
Yeah, or brownies, mm-hmm. things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a big difference, right? I think when I was growing up in high school and college with cannabis or weed that we call it, it was more like joints,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas like they would roll it in paper and then they would burn it like mm-hmm. a cigarette. But now it's more vapes and edibles, putting in gummies and food, right? Okay. What has also surged in recent years, Heather?
Along with cannabis vaping, nicotine vaping is also on the rise, and that is being seen as like a substitute for smoking traditional cigarettes.
Right. Yeah. And I think in the early days of vaping, people thought it was maybe healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think recent studies have shown that actually it's worse for you than mm-hmm. traditional mm-hmm. cigarettes. So knowing that these are the common things that are happening and what is more commonly used among teens allows you to be able to be more informed. And why is that so important?
Well, I think that, in my opinion, Campbell, mm-hmm. there is nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
The shape that these things are taking might be different.
Yes.
And we might view it as something totally different than what we experienced. But to be honest, there's always going to be these kind of temptations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we can't use that as an excuse to say, this is new. I don't know how to talk to my kid about
right.
this. I mean,
mm-hmm.
come on. We've all dealt with temptations
right.
as adolescents, and using that experience to build a relationship with our kids
yeah.
and talk to them about it is just such a better way to go.
Yes, for sure. And I think being able to speak specifically to what they are using helps you to feel like you are more up to date, right? And that you're not so out of touch, right? So for example, if I start talking like to my kids and saying, oh, have you ever, you know, do you know about weed or do you know about, you know, rolling a joint? They'd be like, what is that?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, but if I talk about maybe vaping or they talk about, you know, edibles and things, maybe they feel like, oh, wow, okay, so he is informed and he is more up to date on what's happening in their world, and they're more likely to take you seriously, right? Because if you're like talking about these passe things or things that are out of date, they're just like, what are you talking about? Nobody does that anymore, you know? And so then maybe not going to take you as seriously, right? Okay, but there is a challenge sometimes, right? It says sometimes it's hard to tell whether a teen is experimenting or truly struggling. What are we talking about here, Heather?
So experimenting is just trying. So I guess trying these different substances and seeing how just to experiment and to see, like to experience it.
Right.
And then maybe that just being a one-off. And then whether they're truly struggling with like the substances, like whether they're experiencing addiction and how when you're addicted or experimenting, you can experience changes in your mood, sleep, appetite, maybe your grades go down or you have issues with your friends.
Right. Yeah. So experimenting, meaning they're just trying it out or they're really struggling, they actually have an addiction or an issue, right? Also, the idea here is, you know, sometimes teens are struggling with bullying at school. They're struggling with anxiety or depression. And these things can also cause changes in, as Heather was saying, mood, sleep, appetite, school performance, or friendships. But what is the difference? You know, if they're struggling with these things and it's anxiety or it's being bullied or they're just depressed and then we're accusing them of using drugs, that can actually make things worse, right? So what is the advice here? How do we deal with this?
Well, the advice here is to bring your child to the pediatrician and have them screened for substance abuse and also mental health concerns, because it seems like what our article is saying is that sometimes these symptoms can be very similar. So it could be hard for parents to know what's going on with their kid, especially if their relationship is strained.
Right. So if you see a change in their personality, right, you know, maybe they were very happy-go-lucky and then all of a sudden they're very moody and depressed, or maybe they're having insomnia, right, or they just don't want to eat, or, you know, maybe they were getting really great grades and all of a sudden they're failing all their classes, or, you know, there's a change in their friendships. They start hanging out with different people than they used to hang out with before. These could be a sign of substance abuse, but it can also be a sign that they're struggling with mental health issues, okay? And you should get the help from a professional to determine the difference, right? And it says here, another additional benefit to getting a pediatrician involved, and what would that be?
It says here that teens often feel more comfortable talking to the doctor rather than their parent.
Why do you think that might be?
Sometimes I think as parents, we are too close to the situation. We know too much. So maybe the child needs that outside voice speaking into their lives. And I also would go on to say that I think it's important that our children develop relationships with other healthy adults as well. Mentors, spiritual leaders, people who can speak into their lives. Because even though we have so much influence over our kids, we're also so close to them that sometimes they might feel a little smothered or controlled to share those things with us.
Yeah, and also depending on the relationship, I think if we haven't established that trust and that safety for our children before, where, you know, maybe every time they bring something up, we yell at them. Every time they bring something up, we scold them. Then they're not going to feel safe to be able to be open and honest because they're worried that we're going to yell at them, you know. So maybe they can feel safer talking to another adult. But having said that, you know, one thought that just popped into mind is that, you know, as parents, you also need to be wise and wary about who you trust to talk to your kids.
For sure.
Right? Because not all doctors, not all professionals have your best interest in mind. And, you know, you want to make sure that they're also aligned with your values.
That's so true.
Right? Especially in today's society where there's so many different opinions, so many different ideas about what is right, what is wrong. You don't want someone influencing your child in a way that you wouldn't be comfortable with. So you also need to be wise in who you choose to introduce your child to. Right. And you need to do your due diligence as well. So don't just blanketly trust a doctor just because they're a doctor, right? Okay, so one of the most important goals in adolescence is delaying substance use for as long as possible. You know, to be honest, I had a little issue with this sentence because it's almost saying that it's inevitable that someone is going to use substances.
The reason this is weird for me is because yesterday our article said most teens don't use drugs or alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But now in today's article, the second part of the same article, the writer is saying that delaying substance abuse use as long as possible. So it makes it sound like they're assuming that at some point in their lives, everyone is going to do these things.
Yeah, and I mean, I can agree with that maybe with alcohol. I think at some point,
definitely,
most of us do drink wine or some sort
of— At least to try it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think everybody uses drugs. Have you ever used?
I mean,
you don't
answer that.
No,
I have not. I have not used drugs.
Right, yeah. For as long as possible. I would say not just for as long as possible, just avoid it, period, right? Just don't use it at all, right? But the truth is, the earlier a teen starts using substances, the more likely what would happen?
The more likely they, you know, develop substance use disorder later in their life. So, like, they become addicted or dependent on this substance.
Yeah. And truth is, though, it's not just alcohol and it's not just drugs. It's
mm-hmm.
now it's even phones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the digital, you know, all these electronics, right? And one of the hardest things now as parents is because it seems very innocuous. You're just letting them watch YouTube, right? But then studies have shown that this can be as addictive as a drug.
It's always very interesting to me how people categorize certain things as better or worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but sometimes they have the same effects.
Exactly. Yeah. And social media even, right? And that's why more and more countries and societies are putting out laws about, you know, what age can, you know, people start using social media.
Yeah, especially if, like, suicide rates and depression rates are just as linked to social media use as, you know, I don't know the statistics, but, you know, as to certain drugs.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like in today's society, we as parents have a lot more to navigate than just simply substances like drugs and alcohol, right? We also have the phones and we have social media and we have all this stuff that we have to contend with. So we need wisdom. All right, we have one last section for this article. Let's read it together.
Realistic goals. That said, the goal shouldn't be perfection. It's protection. Even if your teen has experimented, you can still make a difference. Be curious and ask questions like, how might you respond if someone at a party offers you a drink? Play to a teen's strengths. For example, if your teen has an independent streak, tap into that. You might say, you've never been someone who follows the crowd. How do you think that could help you make decisions if friends start using drugs or alcohol? The most powerful prevention tool you have is your ongoing relationship with your teen. Don't worry about giving one perfect lecture. What matters most is having lots of small conversations over time. Talk during a car ride, while doing dishes, over Sunday family breakfast, or at bedtime. Be curious, be calm, let them know you're always there to talk about anything. Even if your teen has already experimented, it's never too late to help guide them.
All right. So connection more than control. Connection more than control. That is kind of the framework for this article. But it says here, the goal shouldn't be perfection. It's protection. So perfection versus protection. What are we talking about?
Well, I think it has to do with the title here is setting realistic goals.
Hmm.
I think sometimes we want to set a goal of perfection on our kids. And of course, that's what we have in mind and that's what we should be striving for. But I think just understanding that we as people mess up, make mistakes. So it's only logical that our kids will also do the same thing.
Right.
And to put those guardrails up or at least a safety net to fall back on to protect them when they do mess up.
Yeah. And perfection meaning that, oh man, they already they've already tried it, they've already used drugs, it's too late, and then you just kind of give up. But the fact is, you know, even if they have, and the article says, even if they have experimented, you can still make a difference. It's not too late. You can still talk to them, right? And the best way to do that is be curious and ask questions, right? We talked about some of those questions yesterday, but here's some more questions. What question does this article say here right now, Heather?
How might you respond if someone at a party offers you a drink?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so getting them to think about that, right? Equipping them and giving them the tools, getting them to think about it ahead of time so that when they're faced with this question, they don't have to make up something on the spot, right? They can have the question or they have the answer and they have a strategy in mind ahead of time. Right? And I like this next advice. It says, play to a teen's strengths. What's the example that's giving here?
Well, here's an example. If your teen has an independent streak, you can tap into that. If you say to them, you know, you don't follow the crowd, so how would that translate into drug or alcohol use?
Right.
You don't want to be like anyone else anyway, so right. Why would you be making this choice?
Yeah, and I think this works because it strokes their ego a bit, you know, it kind of mm-hmm. makes them feel good, and then when people feel good, then they're more open to advice, right? And I think recently I've been learning about, you know, how do you actually develop habits? It's not about the habits. It's actually creating identities, mm-hmm. right? So rather than, you know, I need to go and run 10K, like developing the identity
of a runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? You know, rather than being someone that's trying to lose weight, it's I am a person that eats healthy, mm-hmm. right? So having the identity. So I think this is playing into that, right? You are someone who doesn't follow the crowd. And so how would you use that as a strength? How would you mm-hmm. use that, right? You know, another example might be, well, you really like to stay healthy, right? So how do you think these substances might influence your health, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? So what are some of the strengths? And again, this is about connection. It's about you knowing your child, you knowing what they're good at or what their strengths are, okay? For example, my daughter, she's very much of a leader, right? And she's very much of an influencer. So you know, what I would maybe say to her is, you know, as a leader, as someone who influences other people and someone who doesn't like to be told what to do, how do you think that could help you make decisions if friends start using drugs or alcohol, right? And playing to her strength in that area, okay? So the doctor here gives us the most powerful prevention tool. And what is that?
So the most powerful prevention tool is your ongoing relationship with your teen, so maintaining that connection with them.
Right. And so it's not about giving that one perfect lecture, right? So just sitting them down and we're going to have the drug talk right now.
It's like checking off a checklist. Right? Like, yeah. Okay, I did it. We're done. Don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
That's just not how parenting works.
No. It's about the ongoing relationship, the connection, as we keep talking about. What matters most? Having lots of small conversations over time. And you could do that anywhere, right? What are some examples that are given here?
You can talk about it on a car ride, while doing dishes, or over Sunday family breakfast, or even at bedtime.
Yeah. The thing is, this takes intention, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes, I'll be honest, as a parent, it's exhausting, and so I just want to tune out.
Get through the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but like, it's like, I just want to wash the dishes and go to bed, or just like, I just want to veg, or whatever, I just want to rest, you know? But being intentional and having those conversations, and, you know, it can be hard, because sometimes when you talk to kids, they give you like the period, right? How's your day? Good.
And
you know, and yeah. So like it can be hard to lead a conversation, especially if they're not in the mood to talk, right?
I do like the suggestion here that having these talks during other times rather than just the sit down on the couch
yes.
is helpful.
Right.
Because I think it feels a lot less intimidating to kids.
Yeah.
And all of these activities are you building a relationship
yes.
with your kid.
100%.
You're on the car. You're in the car anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the dishes. So clearly you're doing chores together.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting down. There's a key. Sitting mm-hmm. down to breakfast together. Those are the times to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it says, be curious, be calm. I think that is very, very key. I think as parents, sometimes we are so much in the teaching mode, so often we're in the discipline mode or the talking, the lecturing, right? But being curious, asking questions, allowing them to share more rather than you being the one to talk all the time. And being calm, that is a very hard thing for me as a father, is to be calm because they can really trigger you sometimes. And then let them know you're always there to talk about anything. I think this is very, very key, right? Creating that safe environment and letting them know that no matter what, they can always talk to you and they don't need to be afraid that they're going to get in trouble, right? But that you're always there to talk. They're always there to listen. And no matter what, you love them. No matter what, you love them. And even if your team has already experimented, it's never too late to help guide them, right? So, okay, they've tried, but you don't give up on them, right? You can still talk to them at any time. You can still help to guide them and help them to work through it. And, you know, if they're beyond your help, then get the professional help that you need. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that, okay? All right. Well, we have talked about a lot. Thank you guys for joining me today. And I feel like I've learned a lot and I have a lot of thoughts to process. Yeah. What about you, Amory?
Same. I think it's reminded me how important that relationship is, especially early on, just creating that environment for my kids where they feel like they can talk to me and make sure that I am communicating with them likewise.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And Heather, anything that you learned from the past 2 days?
I think just going through this article has really helped me reflect on maybe my parents, like my experience with my parents and maybe things that have happened in the past and being able to have more empathy for their situation as they navigated being parents.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, if you are a parent and you're kind of in the midst of it and you're struggling and you don't know what to do, you know, reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this article. What do you think about this idea of connection more than control? And what are some ideas maybe that you have on how you can facilitate more connection rather than control? All right. And we'd love to hear your opinions on this article and or any other article that we have in the magazine. Please don't hesitate to reach out. And as always, you can check out our teaching on YouTube and different things like that. But until next time, this is Campbell.
My name is Anne Marie.
And this is Heather.
And we will join you again in another article. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.